Back to Cornelius. I mean, we were in Acts chapter 10. And I want to say Cornelius because that's kind of the way I remember it. But Peter was a big part of this whole chapter. And we left off with basically, what Cornelius did or how he found out about the gospel, essentially. Like, I know that Peter recounted this to him in verse 30. And I think that's a great lesson for everything that we do, because you can never speak about the gospel too many times. You can do it over and over and over again, and it never gets old. It doesn't tell us exactly what Cornelius was praying for, although we know what ended up happening. But I can only suppose that he wanted to know more about Christ. But one of the things that I was thinking about when the comment was made last week about it, kind of all started at the foot of the cross with the Romans that basically realized, without any kind of bias, prejudice against Jesus, basically were there doing a job, not a Jew, just there doing a job, realized something really bad happened, something amazing happened. I'm witness to it. I don't exactly understand what happened, but I can tell you this, it never has happened before, and I don't know anybody from the being an eyewitness to this and talking about it later. No one has ever talked about anything that happened like that ever before. And you can imagine the centurion was at the foot of the cross and oversaw literally thousands of crucifixions. And maybe more, I don't know. But you can only suppose the guy was there just to see, another crucifixion. Just another crucifixion with maybe a bigger crowd. I guarantee you that a lot of the people crucified had family that were sad about it. No different than Christ. He heard what Christ said to people on his left and right, the thieves on the cross. He heard Jesus say, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He heard him cry to God. He saw the reaction from when that happened. And so Cornelius, by just virtue of being who he was, got the message. Being where he was, he got the message. Not exactly sure about what the message was, but He became more aware of it and wanted to be a part of it. And we know that because he gave of his wealth and he prayed to God. Remember, the disciples didn't even know how to do that. They asked Jesus, "How do we do this?" So remember we talked about that, like the Jews had always had somebody that would offer sacrifice for them, pray for them, really be that propitiation for their transgressions. But really, even the disciples that were with Jesus had really no real concept about how to pray to God, because it was an unapproachable. I think that even saying the name meant stoning. It was a violation of Judaism to even speak the name of God. So, all of that, builds up. Acts chapter 10, here's Cornelius. He's there. He's believing in it. He's believing in the cause. He's got his family right there with him, whether they're like Noah's children or really believing in themselves. But we know that they were baptized. And the big thing is The racism that existed between two classes of people in that day was eliminated with this one situation. It was never eliminated. There was still that existed, but by God's will, Gentiles were allowed and brought in to the great hope that we all have. Thank goodness. So prayers like that are massively impactful. We can pray like we're told to, for Jesus to come soon. I mean, that your return, let's we want to be there with you, God, so we want you to come soon. But, you know, Cornelius's faith about being one of the chosen, one of the Christians, one he really wasn't quite, maybe he was quite sure. We know that through the steps he took, but I mean, just the point of being so new to this for him was he just wanted to be accepted into this first century church, this following, this movement. And his prayer was answered. I mean, we pray about things a lot of times. What I mean is, and we may not see those prayers answered in time. We may not see that. But Cornelius, in his lifetime, prayed in that short period. I think we can date, you know, when Jesus was crucified through Acts 10, we know it didn't take long for them to reach out to the Gentiles. And it was for people like Cornelius that were willing to accept it for that to happen. And that's a really big deal to me in Acts chapter 10. It sets the tone for love your neighbor. I mean, that's what it is. So I wanted to kind of wrap it up with that. I thought about it all week long, and it's so difficult sometimes for us into practical life to be able to step outside of our own comfort zone, our own families, our own work peers, the peers that we have at work, co-workers, as the English say, my colleagues. You know, the thing is we get into these little spaces that we feel real comfortable, but, you know, we get really upset at that car on Atlanta Highway that cut us off. I mean, that car didn't do it. I mean, I get being frustrated in life, no doubt about it, but I mean, big picture is everyone that we come in contact with has a soul, everybody. And to start looking at people like that, you become more aware of what the Great Commission means. And that's a lot of what we should be praying about. And thank goodness for Cornelius. So, that said, the next person we're going to go to, unless there's any comments, of course, I'd like to hear them. I'm having a malfunction here, whatever this is. Sorry about that. Okay. If nothing about that, we'll move on to Jonah. So Jonah is one of the first verses I learned as a kid was Jonah 1:2. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. I don't know, maybe I was 8 or 9 years old when I heard that, but I love that verse. I mean, it just stuck with me my whole adult life and to now. It's a great story, Jonah. Jonah, in some ways, in a lot of ways, you can see a pretty big comparison between Jesus and Jonah. Not in some respects, but in some you can, because like Jesus alluded to, or he talked about in Matthew, about Jonah being one that went to Nineveh and actually saved that country. And here I am now, much greater than that, and you're not listening. And the other comparison that I have was, is they both fell asleep on a boat. I don't know how many knew that, but I probably knew it, but I really never studied it enough to just say that to a class, but it's really interesting to me. Both were called to do something, you know? They were both called by God to do something. One of them, though, had the heart to do it, and the other one had a failure, a massive failure. One of them is God, one of them is human. So we're more like Jonah than Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus, but we're definitely more like Jonah. So I want to read Jonah. It's a great story. I don't know how many people have read it lately, but it's a fun read, so we'll do that. I will try to break it down and go quickly through it, but at some points I want to bring out, we'll probably skip chapter 3 because they did what Jonah asked them to do, but we're going to do 1 and 2 and then 4. But any comments about this story, I'd like to hear anything at all. So with that, we'll get started. Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So I want to stop and just point out a couple things before we get to that, because it's really a condition for me when we're talking about prayer, the condition of the heart and the position you are kind of determines the prayers that you offer. But right here, he's got the word. We don't know how it was delivered to him, but he got the word to go to Nineveh. And the first thing he does is what? I mean, he runs away from that, right? He knows what he's got to do, but he's like, no way. Do we learn later why he doesn't want to go to Nineveh?
They were bad people.
They were bad people.
I mean, bad.
Yeah, why would I go waste my time down there? And we know from the prophet, I wrote it down, Nahum maybe, that Nineveh ultimately was destroyed 200 or 300 years after this. They couldn't keep it together. But Jonah was like, man, this is going to be a no-win situation. He had no faith in what God was telling him to do. And it was pretty tough. The job to do was pretty tough. And a lot of times, it's hard to do tough things. It's very hard. So he's got in his heart that they're not worth saving. I know better than God. I'm not going there. As a matter of fact, I think I can run away and God won't follow me. He can't go where I'm going. Now, I looked up where Tarshish was, and of course it's all over the map, but it's in the sea. You go through the sea, the Mediterranean. You got to go through the Mediterranean because he went through the Mediterranean. And some people say an island. It could be south of Turkey. It could be down towards Egypt. Who knows? But he wanted to go a long ways away. And it's so interesting also to me, which is coincidental probably. I don't know why there would be a connection biblically other than the fact that, you know, they're in this region. But even in Acts 10, they all went to Joppa. They went to Joppa. In Acts 10, it says that Cornelius was supposed to send men to Joppa. Joppa was a popular place. It was a hub of the area. It was a trade route. So his heart is definitely pushing him away. And to paraphrase verses 4 through 17, he's on the boat and there's a storm. And very similar to God, Jesus on the boat asleep. It says here in verse 5, the mariners were afraid and every man cried out unto his God, not the God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the ship and lain down and was fast asleep. I don't know about you, but when I have a problem that I'm worried about, I don't sleep very good. Maybe some do, I don't know. If I feel a little anxiety, if I'm worried about something that I've got to do, or maybe even something I know I did wrong, it's not an easy way to spend the night. What does it say about Jonah and his ability to go into a boat in a storm and sleep after making the decision to run away from God? Are we reading too much into this? Yeah. He made it. Yeah. That's right. Don't go too far. You're doing great, but I want to get, well, hold on. So look, a lot of people online, the millions online, they can't hear you. So I've got to be able to kind of paraphrase what you're saying. Because I got my public out there. I got it. So the deal is he's felt very confident about his decision, even though, you know, in the beginning, you know, I think he felt like that was a big gamble. But he made it to the boat. He got on the boat. He paid his fare, it says, right? He's made it. I got it. I got this. I got away from my responsibility to God. And he's like, I can just rest easy. Yeah, that's exactly right. He wasn't worried about what he had done. He was actually completely fine with it. Otherwise, I don't think there's a way he could have just relaxed and slept. You know, that's the similarity between Jesus and Jonah at that point. And then it changed, right? I mean, the next thing that happens is here's the storm. And yes, the apostles got really nervous. Yes, they woke up Jesus. But Jesus' reaction to that was way different than Jonah's. Yeah. But, yeah. The lesson takeaway for us is, are we sure that we are doing God's will? Yeah, so the comment is like, are we sure about what we're doing, and do we feel confident in what we're doing, that what we're doing is in line with the will of God. So this is a class about prayer, so we need to remember what Jesus said to his disciples when he taught them to pray. He said, what about the will? What about God's will? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have to acknowledge that no matter what we decide, that God's will is going to trump everything. I'm sorry about that word. But it will bellwether above whatever we think is the will that we have. And to be submissive to God's will is part of the condition of our heart, especially when we pray. We have to be in a type of mindset that when we pray, that we are open to making corrections, changing course, and realigning with God's will. And I agree, and I said this in our first class, that so much of good prayer life is a strong faith, because the more we know about what it's teaching us, the better we are equipped to do a good job of praying.
I think Don. You might be seeing in Jonah a guy who, now he had heard directly from God. He was a prophet. God spoke to him. But yet, I think he thought, and we've heard the old expression, a soft pillow, a good conscience, a soft pillow. You know, you can sleep good if you've got a clean conscience. Well, I think he had a clean conscience. I think he thought, I know God said that, but does God really know how bad these Ninevites are? Does God really, this is really not what God wants. I'm doing better, because, like you say, to be defiant of God, for a prophet, I would think, would put you in a bad spot. Now, Jonah's going to be, he's going to be cross with God throughout the whole book.
Yeah.
A lot of time in prayer, but he's going to be cross with God about almost everything that happens, almost the end. But I think, you know, I think right there, I think he thought, I know God said that, but I'm getting on this boat. I'm getting away from this because I know better than God does.
Yeah.
I understand it's better than God. So he can lay down and go to sleep. I mean, how many people tonight are doing things that are obviously wrong, complete contradiction with God? But they've convinced themselves it's
yeah.
okay. They don't toss and turn.
Yeah, I think the two points are, first of all, is there are various examples, many examples of prophets that would have ascended to a position in their mind that they were equivalent, not maybe equivalent, but had the ability to sway God one way or the other. The difference in Moses saying to God, spare the Israelites for their stupid things that they've done, and begging and pleading with God, is Jonah ran away. He is a prophet. Yes, he got it, but he ran away. He ran away from it. He skirted his responsibility, thinking, man, I can just run away from this, and I'm a man of God. It'll be okay. He'll give me another job. Like, this is the job I don't want. Instead of praying and saying, Lord, you know, like, let's another good example. Jesus prayed, if we can have this cup pass from me, I would prefer this not happen. But thy will be done. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's exactly what Jonah did. God, I hate me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go over here and just.
Yeah. That's a lot of good stuff. And I tell you, I'm agreeing with you about the Cornelius story. I'm totally convinced. I mean, think about what Peter would have done if he had taken Jonah's course of action. I mean, he'd already kind of done that early on when he denied Christ three times. I think sometimes, though, things like that can absolutely build us up. I mean, we know that if you keep your eye on God, even though you make a big mistake like denying Jesus three times, that when you come out of it, Peter's faith was much better. Or else he would have ended up just like Jonah. He'd have run away from that. He didn't like those Italian Gentiles. Those dirty Italian Gentiles. Yes. Well,
over my head, but it does almost every story account pops out, and I'll be like, I can see me in that story. Over in the corner, the story after I've written, what is my Tarshish? And I had some examples, but for some reason, when you started talking, I thought, but what is my Nineveh? I know some things that I run through, but not all of us have things that we think. People that, I don't use the word hate in my head, but in my heart, is it that? Are there people that I don't forgive? Are there people that, do I have friends, co-workers, other people right now that I know how badly they need salvation and they need the Jesus that I know, and that for whatever reason, I don't share with them? Maybe they're my in-laws, and I don't want to make that relationship any more complicated than it already is. Maybe it's somebody that I work with, and I don't want to rock the boat with that relationship, you know. Maybe it's just a friend, and I don't want to cause any tension. I'm more worried about the tension it'll cause in that friendship than I am. But is that any different? Is it any different when I know good and well what God expects of me? And what he wants me to do than what Jonah was told to do?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, I run away from Nineveh every day when I'm in a discussion with a group of people and it's business in my mind, but I'm listening on the peripheral to other things going on, and I'm there, and I don't say anything. Sometimes I don't. It's just hard to stay in line and not run away from Nineveh and run to where's my Tarshish? Where's my Nineveh? You know, it's tough. The good news about it is that no matter if you're going to Nineveh or Tarshish, the God will be there. And you can pray to him wherever you are, and you can get back to where you need to be. And the beauty of prayer, like we talked about in the beginning of this class, was, you know, I made the example of, let's say, families. Like, I don't know any of y'all that would have a family argument, but my family may have an argument. So in the family argument, you know, if it gets to a level that maybe it shouldn't get, there's a time when you can say, well, let's just pray about it. And somehow, I have no idea why, it just takes it down. And everybody just smooths all out. It's great. And, you know, that's a great tool. And it works. And we can use that tool a lot of times when we face that decision about Tarshish, Nineveh. I'm right here in the crossroads. That's what prayer is about. And, you know, again, prayer is effective if your heart is effective. I mean, it tells us very specifically about how our heart needs to be. It tells us about how our heart doesn't need to be. And, you know, as we develop and grow in our walk with Christianity, we become better at that. But the warning is, you get to a position like a Jonah, and you feel like you've matured and you're confident in your your Christian walk, and then you have this situation that's, and it will be there. It will come. That's maybe you can't handle, and you make the wrong choice. Jonah, man of God, prophet, bad choice. Peter, apostle, bad choices, but his faith grew. And he went to see Cornelius and dealt with it correctly. Great points. I love it. I was so tired tonight. And I was so worried about being just exhausted in this class. But you guys have got me energized. I hope we don't run out of time. Okay. Any other comments? I love it. I think it's great. Great comments. And I like the Bible in that you can get into verse by verse and break it down like that, because it makes it more personal to me. And that's kind of why I dip into, why was he sleeping? It was a big storm. I know, you're so good. You're going way ahead. Yeah. No. Yes, ma'am. That's right. The expectation is that bad people are going to be punished. And so when we hear that something good is going to happen to them, it's very difficult for us to reconcile, because we see things very level. And he didn't want to look beyond that to see what God was going to do in that situation. He was still very punitive.
Yeah.
They're bad, they should be punished.
Yeah. Yeah, the human wants to say, I'm not helping you because you've been horrible and you deserve, you know, everlasting punishment for being horrible. And he knew the story of Noah. You know, he knew that story. So he's like, you know, I'm going to get on a boat. Noah did. You know, I'm going to do the same thing, maybe. Who knows what he thought about in his head, but he didn't think about going to Nineveh. He thought they need to get what they deserve.
That's why we want God to look at
us. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the maturity part, the growing part for Jonah. You know, the
last. Yeah. Yeah. More than this old fig tree here.
It's your heart,
Jonah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of great things to talk about for that. I mean, for instance, the parable of the seed is an example of this in a way. I mean, God is the one that gives the increase. He just asked us to put the seed out there. To say, well, they fell over in the rocks. They don't deserve to go. That's not our choice. We're just to sow it in the thorns and the seeds and the good plowed earth. It doesn't matter. It goes everywhere. It's not our decision. We just need to do it. We need to get the seed out there. And, Jonah felt like Nineveh was a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and they need to go. And that is very human to feel that way. And we see it every day. So we need to try to transcend above that. We need to be what God called us to be. We need to love and pray for our enemies
And we need to ask our heart to be touched by those things and sow the seed. Well, so next week we can talk about the rest of this chapter because it's a great story and I love it. And I love it even more after tonight. So many good things that came from this class. Thank y'all very much for your attention. Don, would you lead us in closing prayer?